Thanks, Greg. Yes, we are backstage with Stefan Deneuve. Wow, what a program. This is so beautiful.
It's really magic across the ages because we started with Mozart, end of the 18th century, and now we finished with John Williams with some Paul Duca in between. So I'm very happy with this program, showing just that music can be always magic, every different epoca.
It was mysterious and magical and a lot of fun. What inspired you to put this program together?
To be honest with you, I had one dream since many years, which is to conduct L'Enfant et les Sortilèges of Ravel with the Philadelphia Orchestra, because I love their sound, I love them, as you know. I'm principal guest conductor since now 6 years, and I just want to do this piece, and I'm so happy that I had the opportunity to finally do it with a fabulous cast, and then, of course, what to put together with this piece. And I had this idea to add some other piece that deals with enchantment and magic and fairiness, and voila, some Mozart, Duca and Williams fits perfectly before L'Enfant.
Well, I guess it speaks to the relationship between film music and opera, because you start out with the Magic Flute, and then we have the Duca Sorcerer's Apprentice, which wasn't written for film but ended up being part of a film, and then the John Williams, which is really spectacular.
Well, I love music with narrative. It's a kind of a big interest for me. And so, of course, I love opera. I used to be actually more an opera conductor when I was young. I started my career conducting much more opera than symphonic repertoire. Now it's the opposite because I have a daughter who is very young and I don't want to be far from home too long. So I'm doing mostly symphonic, but I can't wait to go back at some point in my life to a more opera because I love it. At least here we have this production that we will show tonight, which is really exciting because it's kind of semi-stage and I think offers a good compromise between a concert version concentrating on the music only and still some lively movements and acting.
So in the pieces we just heard, they kind of illustrate the way composers have depicted magic in music through time. There's amazing use of the orchestra. Do composers use certain instruments to conjure that feeling of magic?
Well, what is fascinating to me is that, for instance, this idea of magic dust, you know, of this, it seems to be an old one because Duca already made that happen in the orchestration with little flutes doing tick, 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 and way before the cartoon was made, and that you could really see the magic dust of, you know, and the same for Mozart. There is this very fast melody, which does have also this, yeah, kind of Mendelssohnian Midsummer Night's Dream feel. It's quite strange that the same emotion, this kind of magic, mysterious, fairy emotion, bring the same type of answer, you know, a lot of fast notes, very soft, you know, repeated notes. Yes, it seems to be a permanent way to illustrate magic over the ages.
I noticed that the Duca uses the Glockenspiel and the John Williams uses the Celeste, and they both have that kind of, I don't know, maybe that's the fairy dust you're talking about.
Yes, they are used as well in L'Enfant et Sortilège that we'll hear now. Yes, the little bells always bring this kind of feeling that the air becomes electricity. You know, it's just vibrating. It's funny, like, you know, when you play music for babies, often you have this little music box, and so maybe it's just an echo of this little sound of a music box that we hear when we are babies.
Well, it was really beautiful, mysterious and exciting and wonderful. And so after intermission, this is exciting. It's quite a production, I can see from the program. There are a lot of people involved, and you're right in the middle of it.
Yes, it's a fabulous piece, which has so many roles. In fact, we have 8 different singers. We have then a chorus of children, and we have, of course, a big chorus, wonderful Westminster choir, and a big orchestra with many instruments, including even a luthéal.
A what?
A luthéal. Alors, that's a very interesting thing. Ravel was actually totally fascinated by a new invention that was made during his life, which was a kind of mechanism that you add to a piano that would offer, yeah, with 4 different stops, and those stops were activating different mechanisms, putting a little bit of nails on the strings to kind of create a kind of harpsichord sound. The other one actually pushing a little piece of metal on the middle of the exact exactly at the middle of the strings, which creates a harmonic, meaning the sound goes an octave higher and has this kind of bell-like quality. And Ravel, who was, of course, fascinated by colors, use this luteal. The only problem is that this mechanism only worked on a piano with parallel strings, which was the case but at the Ravel's time, but actually that was exactly the time where they started to make piano with cross strings, and then this mechanism could not be installed at all, so the luteal died right away, right after birth, if I may say. And Ravel wrote two pieces, L'Enfant et le Sortilège and also Tsigane, using the luteal, L-U-T-H-E-A-L, luteal. We're very lucky because nobody actually can use a luteal, a real one, today, because we don't have the type of piano. But it has been sampled. So actually, we will have a digital luteal tonight, which is interesting. So you will hear something quite rarely done, which is the real sound of a real luteal, just offered through a sample, so a digital keyboard.
I guess we should tell the story that we're about to hear. It's about a difficult child who's 6 years old, who is not doing his homework. And his mother comes in and says, "You have to have tea without sugar." And he gets furious and throws a tantrum. And then
something very similar to Toy Story happened. You know, the famous cartoon from Pixar. What happened is that suddenly, we don't know if it's a dream, maybe a nightmare, or if it's reality, but in any case, what's happening for him, for the boy, is that all the objects that he has destroyed during his temper tantrum actually become alive and start to actually speak with him and reprimand him and complain and ultimately seek vengeance. And not only the objects, so like the teacup that he broke, like the teapot, like the chair, the armchair, the wallpaper on the wall, etc., etc., but also later we go in the garden and then all the animals that he has put into a cage, or that he has taken, like a dragonfly that he had put on a wall, some bats that he has beaten with his stick and he killed one. All the animals as well actually starts to speak and to really complain to the boy, and he's learning a lesson little by little. He's understanding that he's responsible for that what he does can have a bad reaction. And so at the end, there is a good happy ending actually of the story. At the end, he realizes that and he becomes a good boy. He actually helps a little squirrel injured, put a bandage on the little hand, the little arm of a squirrel, and then everybody realizes that actually he's a good boy and he will be a good boy from now on.
Well, the music, it was written in the early 1920s, and can you hear that flavor of that era?
Well, we hear actually the influence of America, because, you know, jazz was the big thing at the start of the 20th century in Paris. And Ravel loved jazz. Ravel went to America, met Gershwin, and it's extremely clear that he was totally influenced by the music halls of the time. And yes, you will hear at some point a kind of American valse. We call that an American valse. At some point, there is a teapot and the Chinese cup, and it's a kind of ragtime. Yes, it's definitely a Franco-American piece celebrating, I think, the long-lasting Franco-American friendship.
Well, the whole program seems like it's about magic and wonder as well, because a lot of it is seen through a child's eyes, both in the first half and coming up. So it's not really a dark magic, it's a magic of wonderment.
You know, for me, we are all aging children, and we should never lose this quality of marveling. I am marveling at the music all the time. That's why I love this program, and I think it makes a lot of sense, because there's nothing more magic than listening to music. Just to hear those vibrations is something very special, and that makes me very optimistic about the future. I think people will always more realize to be together and to share the magic of music is something unique and precious.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Stéphane Deneuve.
Thank you.